Welcome to Quantum Rx, the podcast that teaches you how to move beyond stuck emotions and trauma for mind, body, and spirit healing. I'm your host, Dr. Stephanie Davis. I want you to take a minute to remember back to when you were a little kid. I know so many of us, we wanted to grow up fast and there were so many things we wanted, you know, we wanted to do that we couldn't do. But at its core, childhood is a time of life where we have so much freedom, even though we don't think we do. As an adult, I would give anything to go back to those days when I could just play. You know, I was playing all day, being super creative and so much fun. And as we become adults and our brains develop and life settles in and the stresses and realities of getting older are realized, that aspect of us tends to get lost and even get shut down completely when we are under tremendous amounts of stress. And so today we are going to get into why playfulness and being creative are such an important part of the not just healing journey, but also an important part of daily life, just humaning, just being a human. And as we dive into this, we're going to be talking about, you know, why does stress and life actually stop our playfulness and how this really just hinders our growth as humans and also hinders our happiness. And then we're going to talk more about why play and creativity is that really important, powerful piece of the healing journey. And we're going to talk about different ways that you can incorporate it into your life in a very easy and manageable way. If you're curious as to if you have any stored emotions or trauma that might be causing your illness, preventing you from achieving your goals, or even just showing up as the best, most authentic version of yourself, I invite you to take my free stored emotions and trauma quiz, and you will find that link in the show notes. So this piece of creativity and playfulness was really, I'm going to say, first brought to my attention when I had kids, because I realized that there was something super liberating in getting down on the floor and playing with them, right? Whether we were playing with blocks or Legos or coloring or running around outside, you know, with a ball, or even just being out in nature and finding a stream and taking our shoes off and just splashing and playing in the stream. There's something so just happy and joyful and genuine in those moments. And it's almost as if the world around you disappears. And that was kind of my first clue into that I had lost that. I mean, I remember I used to be a super creative person. I'm one of those people who's very much had like the science mind, but also the creative mind. Growing up, I placed in science fairs and I placed in art fairs. So it's one of those things that was always a piece of me, and I lost that. I mean, I remember when I was in my early 20s and my friends would have babies, I would actually paint them a picture based on whatever their kind of theme was for their child's room. I would paint them a picture for the room. And I loved doing that. And it was such a creative outlet for me and such an amazing form of expression. And then as life happened, you know, I lost all of that. And it was interesting because I was at a healing retreat about a year and a half ago, maybe a little closer to a year and a couple months ago. And somebody had pointed out to me that she's like, you need to dance more, just like feel the energy, feel the music and dance. And it was funny that she noticed that in me, because one of the exercises that we had done was like a dancing. It was like they turned on music and people were just moving and you could kind of do whatever you wanted. But I remember just feeling not 100%. Like I didn't feel 100% awkward, but I also was not fully feeling and embodying that space and that time and that moment. And I also remember being at a mastermind probably, 6 or 7 years ago, 7 years ago. And I remember being there, and there was this person in the corner, and she was just dancing and flowing. And it wasn't even a time for that. It was just, there was music on in the background, and people were like hanging out in corners and talking and having really intimate conversations. And here she is, just like all in her amazing glory, just sitting here, like, you know, having the vibes, feeling the music and just doing it. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, part of me was in awe, but also part of me was like, is this chick nuts? And I think there was a part of me that was like, I wish I could do that. And in that moment, and why I was at that mastermind was so like, doing that was so far from my mind that I was just like, okay, this is a no right now. But I just like that obviously stuck in my mind. I can vividly remember what she looked like, even what she was wearing. She was wearing all white, and she had this really cool wide brimmed hat that was probably some kind of, it was a really cool kind of like fabric hat, and it was woven and it was really neat. And I just remember so much about her and that moment, and it stuck with me. And let's say fast forward 7 years to last month when I was giving a workshop at an event. And at the end, they ended it with a silent disco, which was absolutely so much fun and amazing. But that was the first time that I can remember since probably being in my early 20s and going out and dancing that I intentionally was in the moment. I felt the music. It was awesome because, like, as I think I described this on a podcast a couple weeks ago, you could switch it to the station you wanted to listen to the music. And I was just in it. I was in the moment. I did not care what other people were doing, didn't care what other people thought. I was just in the moment and I was feeling it, and it felt so good. And it reminded me so many things about play, but it was just like, the feeling and the ability to like just access so much in my body was so much easier when I was in that space. And I was like, there's something more to this. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And so first, I really want you to understand, why does stress and just like the monotony of life stop our playfulness? And the main reason is that it basically, when you're brain is stressed out, you know, it's called your prefrontal cortex. We'll say it's like the front of your brain. Your stress impairs this prefrontal cortex, or PFC, which is known as kind of the command center of your brain. It's involved with like decision making and what we would call like executive function, right? The processes that allow us to live and be functional people, right? All of those really important things. And it allows us not to be impulsive, right? And how it does, why it gets shut down and why it gets impaired is because it is flooded by hormones and neurotransmitters that weaken the connections between your neurons, which your neurons are your nerve cells, right? And it ultimately reduces your ability to regulate your behavior and regulate your thinking. And that actual process then shifts you into a place where it favors more of, like we've talked about, like the old brain or the primitive brain regions, like the amygdala, which are most associated with being incredibly emotional and fear responses, right? So the big players here are the neurotransmitters, dopamine and norepinephrine. Norepinephrine is also known as serotonin, and the hormone that comes from your adrenal glands, cortisol. And these, especially the three I just mentioned, there can be other players in this realm. I'm just giving you the big overview and the important pieces. What happens is when the brain is flooded with these, especially constantly, when you're constantly in that stress state or, you know, fight, flight, freeze type of zone, this weakens those connections, like we mentioned before. And it leads to all of these things that we don't want to happen. We don't want to have poor decision-making. We don't want to have difficulty focusing or increased feelings of anxiety or reliance on overly emotional or like a kind of like ingrained or habitual responses. That's something that I work on people. We work on this a lot, is so often in the day, we just kind of go through our programmed rituals or our habits, right? And that means that we're not really engaged in life. We're just going through the motions. And I find that so many people are in that place. And so why then is play and creativity a powerful piece of the healing journey? And it's because you're stopping that process of being on autopilot, and you're stopping that process of being in the completely like emotional response and fear-based, right? So it also kind of harkens to the space of like uninhibited, being uninhibited and pleasure and freedom and all of those things we felt when we were kiddos, right? You know, there's so many things now and I appreciate it and savor it. Like just making sitting down on the ground and making a mud pie with my kids, or building a sandcastle, or just all of those simple little fun things. It shifts your brain away from, you know, that judgment and analyzing and anxiety and repetition, and interrupts it. And what's cool is it floods your brain with other critical hormones that really help develop your like neuroplasticity. We talk about that a lot, namely oxytocin. When you're feeling pleasure and connectivity, oxytocin in your body rises. This happens like when you pet your dog or pet your cat or hug your kids or your spouse or your friends, or when you are engaged and having fun and feeling pleasure of any kind, oxytocin rises. It also rises when we have sex. No surprise there. So it's that closeness, connection, pleasure. And so that oxytocin allows our neuroplasticity, you know, the like improving the connections between the neurons and developing new connections. It wires new pathways. And if you've been listening for the last several months to the podcast, I talk a lot about like the danger or fear bucket and the safety bucket. So when we're in the previous state, we're basically dumping into that danger bucket or fear bucket, and we're not feeding the safety bucket. When we're in that play or creative state, we're feeding, you know, we're fueling and dumping into that safety bucket, and we're rewiring pathways and rewiring healthy pathways, and then also creating new ones. And this is one of the main reasons why play and creativity is so powerful in healing. It also allows us to access deep aspects of our true self. And this is part of the work that I do with people too. It's like, who are you? A huge, like one of the fundamental goals that I do when I'm working with somebody is we really want to get you back to who you are. Who are you and who were you meant to be before life happened, right? If we were to take that like kind of, I don't want to say pristine, but that's the word that's coming to mind, kind of like that pristine childlike version of you that was just uninhibited and unencumbered with life. And you just showed up as you were in all of your fabulous glory. You know, who is that person? And then life happens and you have self-imposed responsibilities and parental responsibility, or I should say responsibilities your parents may have given you as a child, and then school and teachers and coaches and all of the things. And slowly you fade away, you fade into the background, and the true essence of you and who you are slips away. And so a lot of the work that I do is trying to get people to access those deep parts of their true self and get you back to it. I call it full circle healing. And so that's a really, really, really important piece of the puzzle, is like awakening these parts of you again. And so this happens when we are in this creative zone. Like you'll get little messages into your mind, you'll be like, this is who I am. You know, I forgot I loved these things. And that's really, really important. And so how do we do this? It doesn't have to be complicated. It can be super duper easy. So, and something I encourage people is like, do what makes you happy. And like, just do something different every day. Carve out some time every day, whether it's driving in your car, like people always, oh, I don't have time for that. Yes, you do. If you drive in a car, put on music you love, crank up the volume and rock out and jam and dance and move. Like, there are things you can do. And yes, you might have kids in the car. You might have another person in your car. Who cares? Just do it. You know, you can do it that way. Mindfulness and meditation kind of fall into this category too. And some of the processes that I walk people through in that land do that as well. But that's not, I feel like that's a different space. This, I feel like, needs to be like more emotive and playful. And so learning new skills and hobbies, that's another way to do it. Problem solving. So I actually prefer people to do it like in a written context rather than on their phone, because we're on devices so much. But crosswords, Sudoku, any kind of puzzles or things of that nature, even doing like a jigsaw puzzle, like busting out a puzzle like that, you could do it that way. And novelty is really important here too. So, you know, like I said before, kind of trying something new. It could be a new form of dance, taking dance lessons, even just turning on, like we all have access to YouTube. If there's something that kind of strikes your interest, try that out, like a type of movement or dance or something like that. And you can do it for like 5 or 10 minutes a day. And then if you find that you love it, do it more. There's so many things you can do. I mean, get out into nature. I find nature very inspiring. I don't love to run, but if I'm going to run, it's going to be like in nature, like on a mountain type of thing. I just like to go and play with my kids. My kids would pretend to be certain characters when they were little kids, and they would make like bows and bow and arrow kind of stuff out of like sticks and pretend, oh, it was like Zelda. My son used to pretend he was, I can't think of his name, the main character from Zelda. He would do that. And just playing and like being in that moment and pretending. My daughter likes to pretend that she, like lots of times it's pretending like she is an animal of some sort. And she's like leading like different like tea parties, or she's teaching. She pretends she's the teacher a lot. And she is either a different animal teaching other animals, or else she's herself teaching animals and all sorts of stuff like that. We can do that too. Reading could also technically be in here. If you're reading something that is like fantasy or that takes you to another world, that's another place where you can get immersed into like creative, you know, spaces. Because I think what a lot of people are like, oh, I've got to draw or I've got to paint. That's a yes, you can, but you don't have to. There are lots of ways for creativity to happen. Writing songs, writing poems, just freehand writing stories, anything that gets your brain into that creative space. I even do this sometimes when I'm making my kids' meals. I did this a lot more when they were both a lot younger. And now it's for my 7-year-old, because my 12-year-old is beyond this. And he's like, this is stupid, mom, you know. But for my 7-year-old, it's like making faces with like the food on her plate, or like making it into a flower or something like that. You know, crafts are another kind of cool way to engage. I'm not a crafty person. Like, yeah, making the faces on the plate is kind of beyond, that's the limit of my crafty side, but I really do love to paint. I like to draw. I like to write creatively when the urge hits me. There's lots of different things. I still, like I said, I love going into nature and engaging with nature. And now I've realized that dance is something that I enjoy too. And it's just, you know, there's so many things. Like when you get down and you think about all of it, like clay making, pottery, glass fusing, welding, like so many places, even like designing computer programs. There's so many places where you can have creative outlets. But what I will say, it's important to just choose something to do it and then find what's working for you. And if you really, really love something, dive into it. You might outgrow it and then you might need to move on to something new. Or maybe you're a person who likes different flavors and diversity. So that's kind of like how I operate. I don't get immersed into one thing and like get obsessed. I find that to me, that's like more monotonous for me. But if that's the way that you work, have at it. I like to do a couple of different things. And so lately, I have found myself kind of in that more like wanting to move my body, like dance space, also writing and creating, writing, and then some drawing and painting too. So I just wanted to touch on that because I feel like it's a lost art in the healing space. And it's something that we often forget about. And so I invite you to try something creative and fun to bring some change to your life and also shut down all of those pre-programmed feedback loops. As always, much love.
If you made it this far, I truly appreciate you. Remember, knowledge is just the beginning. Taking action is what truly sparks change. If you're overwhelmed and don't have enough energy to make it through the day, I invite you to book a free 20-minute coaching call with me. It's a no-obligation chat where we can discuss your health goals and how I might be able to help you achieve them. Visit the link in the episode description to book that call. Until next time, keep striving for wellness and remember, you have the power to not just survive, but thrive in motherhood.